Das Radio Regenbogen Star-Interview.
Spätestens seit diesem Song kennen wir sie alle. Emily Sondé ist zurück mit einem neuen Album. Mich hat's ziemlich umgehauen. Extrem emotional, tolle Songs und ganz viel Stimmpower. Im Radio Regenbogen Star-Interview verrät uns Emily, wie sie Weihnachten feiert, ob sie ihre Songs wegen TikTok, Instagram und Co. jetzt anders schreibt und wie es für sie ist, auf der Straße erkannt zu werden. Aber hört selbst, hier ist Clara Schad. Ich wünsche euch ganz viel Spaß.
Hey, oh my God, it's so lovely to meet you.
Hi.
Crazy. Wherever you are, does the weather suck as much as it does here?
Yeah, I'm in Scotland, so it's just rain.
I can only imagine. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. Just back with my parents for a bit, setting up my studio here. So yeah, all good.
Perfect. First of all, congratulations on your new album. It's really,
thank you.
The first three words that came to my mind when I listened to the album were confidence, empowerment, and harmony, in a way. Is this kind of what you had in mind when you wrote the album?
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I definitely wanted it to be a confident album. You know, despite which genre choices I made, I wanted to make sure everything felt bold, confident, and real, you know, still an element of vulnerability. So yeah, and harmonically, yeah, I wanted the whole thing to feel like it all fitted together. And for sure, empowering. There's definitely tracks on there like Nothing We Can't Handle and Love, where I wanted to speak directly to the listener so that by the time the album had finished, they felt better about themselves one way or another.
You definitely achieved that with me. I felt like the beginning, the first few songs, there definitely is more trouble going on in your mind and then kind of reaches like a cathartic moment in a way.
Yeah.
Now I picked three songs that I wanted to ask you about. My favorite song on the album is Lighthouse. It just gives off like a 2000s beach party vibe. And I felt like you also combined different genres. What made you do that on the track?
Yeah, I mean, Lighthouse is one of my favorites as well. And this track initially started as guitar and vocal. I was in New York with Phil Lee and we have a really great writing. It's just very natural when I write with him. And at the top of the album, it is a lot of loss and searching for yourself and questioning yourself. And that's what that song was, you know, floating after the shipwreck, wondering how you're going to survive. And when I was with Roc Nation, this was maybe about 5 years ago, they reached out to De Genius, who's based in Miami and Jamaica. And he heard just the vocal and the guitar. And then we got sent back this incredible production. And I'm a big fan of reggae. I've listened to a lot of Lover's Rock growing up. So that song just kind of came together in its own journey. And a lot of the songs on this album had this really unique, natural journey. And they all feel like they landed in the right place.
Amazing. Now, about All This Love, this song to me feels somehow melancholic and yet hopeful at the same time. What does it mean to you? Is it receiving too much love all at once?
I think it's when you're left with nowhere to put the love. And I think it's a big lesson for a lot of us to learn in that, you know, if you're alone and how do you deal with yourself? Often we can put love that we're supposed to give to ourselves to other people. And then when relationships stop, you have all of this energy and power and everything you would give to somebody else. So it's, you're kind of left with it in your hands. What do I do with all of this? How do I actually start looking inwards? Or how do I take this energy, transform it into something else that could be productive? It is half of it's sad, you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do? But also it's a celebration of, wow, how much the capacity of love that we all have within us is extraordinary.
Now, the title song, How Were We to Know, this one immediately hit me. Like, when I first heard it, I believe it resonates with so many, the topic of like going into something and you don't know what's going to come out of it, or like a relationship, how it's going to unfold and everything. What kind of mindset were you in when you wrote that song? And maybe if you feel comfortable answering, where are you now?
When I wrote that song, I think it's like you're trying to make yourself feel better. You know, you're almost trying to heal yourself, like, come on, it was a like, how are we to know? Don't feel bad. So you're trying to pick up the pieces and find a way to not to move on. So I think in some ways you're kind of fooling yourself, you know, how are we to know? It's fine. It's a big pain. So I feel now I genuinely feel those lyrics. Maybe at the time when I wrote them, it was to try pick myself back up and to kind of find closure. Whereas now I think I genuinely feel those emotions, and you can't look back in the past and you can't beat yourself up about something you didn't know, you know, that was going to happen. So I feel a lot more settled in that those emotions are real now, as opposed to I'm just writing about them.
And do you have some advice for people who are in such troubled, maybe disappointing relationships?
Yeah, I mean, relationships do become all consuming, especially when you're a big lover, you've got, you know, you're very romantic. But I think it's about, you know, as much as the song is about don't look back and feel bad, it's also about also stop lying to yourself, whether that's in a relationship or maybe a career you don't want to be in, or, you know, we all have to do things sometimes we don't like, but if there's something fundamental within you that's saying this isn't right, let's, you know, try not waste too much time going down a path that you know inside, you know, isn't going to work for you. But it's hard when you're in the midst of that emotion. It's difficult. I would just say try spend a lot of time by yourself, get to know yourself again, because I think once so much of your identity goes into a relationship, you can lose yourself and it feels like the end of the world if there is a breakup. But it's about learning yourself again, facing yourself again.
I think that's really good advice, especially like you said, you can lose yourself in relationships. And when you spend a lot of time alone also, it's just good to know, what do I even like? Do I like this because of my partner, or do I actually like this? So I think that's really, really important.
Yeah.
What were your biggest inspirations when you wrote the album?
Biggest inspiration? I mean, musically, I've been listening to a lot of very like high energy musicians. Like I was listening to some of the, you know, greatest singers, Maria Callas, Whitney Houston, people that really didn't hold back. So, and I'd listen to a lot of music I grew up listening to, like gospel music, and everything has this real intensity. So I think that's what inspired a lot of the drama in the album. And life, you know, I really wanted to, if I could sum up my life over the past 10 years personally, that's what I wanted to do with this album. So it was life and very energetic artists that I was really getting into at this point.
Really nice. And I found out that you actually grew up in a small town in Scotland. I can personally relate because where I grew up, it was also just a population of maybe 2,000 people. So probably around the same. How did this shape you as a person?
Well, I think it made me quite an independent person. I think, you know, when I was younger, I always longed to be in bigger cities, more culture around, more, you know, more diversity. That was something I longed for. But when I look back, I feel lucky that it was very safe where I grew up. You know, nature was a massive part of my life. So being able to just wander around and be out in the village and be around mountains and trees every single day, I think it made me quite a calm person. And also, yeah, very individual. There was no rules of, well, because of the color of your skin or because of this, you have to make music this way. I always had options from every different genre. So I think it's made me more independent in defining who I am, and a lot calmer just due to the nature, because it's the mountain's going to be here when I'm dead. It was here before I was born. Like, it does humble you being around such beautiful nature.
I can only imagine. I've never been to Scotland. I think you can definitely recommend, right? It's beautiful there.
Yeah.
And also, I love Scottish. Do you also have that accent, like when you're speaking to your parents or your Scottish friends, maybe?
Sometimes when I speak to my friends, my accent gets a lot stronger. So I think if I spend more time up here, my accent will definitely come out again.
Do you have like a typical Scottish sentence that you can tell me?
What do they say? Up here, there's a, where I'm from, the dialect is called Doric. So what was my mum saying yesterday? Fit like means how are you? So fit like, and you'd say nae bad, not bad.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So if I said fit like Quine, it's like, how are you? Quine is a girl. So fit like Quine is how are you, girl? Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, my God. Now, rising to fame at a young age, I mean, especially since you're coming from a rather small village, how did it affect you as a person, maybe?
It definitely made me believe. I mean, I've always had a kind of quiet confidence from when I was young. I was shy to speak to people, but I always believed somehow I could become a singer. I think it's made me believe, you know, this was a dream I had. A lot of people thought I was completely out of my mind to dream of being a singer. So when the success happened, it gave me that confidence to believe in myself, even when everyone else thinks, you know, you're dreaming too high. But I think it also, because I went from really shy to suddenly out there in the public, I think you have to kind of make a personality to, you know, to stay afloat, to stay focused, to feel safe there. And I think now I've come back to myself a bit more. It feels a lot more natural. I think you'll always have to have a persona that helps you get on stage, that helps you, you know, stay confident, even if you're facing negativity. But it's finding that middle line of being yourself and also having part of that instead of all the way in this other mode where sometimes you could lose yourself. So I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned, coming back to myself.
And would you say you still enjoy, for example, being recognized in public, or is it more of, well, you do enjoy it, but it also can be uncomfortable at times, maybe?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. You know, usually people come and talk to me about deep music or something that's really affected their life. So I love those interactions. But yeah, I mean, sometimes if I'm just wearing something scruffy or, you know, is there a responsibility to be a bit more shiny and polished? That's the only thing. But London's a cool city. Everyone kind of just does their own thing. So yeah, I feel like, yeah, it feels like a nice balance. I can still go out and live my life and still be me.
Now, I think a lot of things have changed in the music business over the last few years. Is there advice you can give for young musicians that are just starting out now?
I would say, you know, as much live performance as you can do, the better. I think I had so much time to learn and go through these different elements of my career, being a songwriter, making videos. And I just feel that before, when I was coming up, social media wasn't so big. So I think the more you can do without feeling the pressure to have to share with the world, the better. The more time you can get on stage, perfect your craft, understand what it feels like to get in front of different types of audiences. I think that's the best place for anyone to start and probably the best way you'll get opportunities.
And would you say social media, for example, apps like TikTok or Instagram especially have an impact on the way you write music now?
Not really. I mean, I know that songs are kind of slowly getting shorter and shorter, but I always, you know, I want to do more anyway. I want them to be 6 minutes long. So no, I don't think so. I think you can always pick snippets of your songs that might work better on social media. But I think in terms of creating the song, I don't usually think about that.
I think that's really good, because I feel like some artists might not even stay true to themselves anymore, because they feel all they do is create content for social media. So it's really refreshing to hear that you're not basing your songs and especially the snippets based off what they like, how they might perform on different apps. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, you know, maybe I need more tips on social media, but for me, I think it's so important to distinguish when you're making content and when you're making a song, like, and really protect and keep your art precious. We can all make content, we can do live videos, all of that type of stuff. But I think the art of recording is something we just need to, yeah, keep in mind.
Also, don't get me wrong, I personally love social media sometimes. For example, my personal fave at the moment is carpet cleaning videos. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but they're so relaxing to watch. Like, they can be so chill and I fall asleep really fast. Is there something similar? I don't know if it has to be as weird, but you know, that you like to binge watch, for example, online?
I really love adult cartoons. That's something that, yeah, it really annoys my partner, because she's like, can we watch something more intellectual? But it's you need those things sometimes to switch your mind off. So I love BoJack Horseman. I love American Dad, all of that. To just go to sleep and have it on the background. I love those shows.
Amazing. Now we're slowly looking at Christmas season approaching. Is there any fun Christmas traditions that you practice?
I mean, we always around the family, so we've always got to get together. And usually in Scotland, we have some snow, so that makes it feel more traditional. My dad always cooks, that's tradition. My mom has this big inflatable reindeer that it's supposed to go in the garden, but we brought it indoors now. So she'll blow that up over Christmas. And what else? We have the same angel we used to have when we were kids, so we'll put that on the tree. And that's it. Yeah, it'll just be a really nice time.
Sounds really good, especially because I think it might also be stressful at times to live in a big city like London. And so it's probably really relaxing sometimes to just go back to Scotland and enjoy the atmosphere there, right?
Yeah, it's so nice. And especially because the music industry really slows down over that period. It's just like, pure calm. It's lovely. It's the best time to make music, actually.
I can only imagine that. So, thank you so much for all your amazing answers. That was already everything from me. It was so lovely to talk to you. You're so humble, and I appreciate your new album so much. It's so, so good. Thank you so much for the interview. It was really cool to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So cool. Oh my God. I never imagined to talk to you because the song, Read All About It, I remember being in singing classes. I used to take singing classes as well, and everyone wanted to sing your song. Everyone. To the point where we had to like check out who would sing it at the concert, and like also nobody would want to sing another song, so we basically only had that one song that everyone wanted to sing. So it was really amazing to
Lovely.
have this opportunity to talk to you. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you very much. See you later.